Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest in Kansas City soccer coverage from KCSN, featuring No Other Pod with Jimmy Mack and Daniel Cooser. Currently, with Daniel Cooser and Chris Wright, and Soccer Talks with Ali Trost-Martin, KC Sports Network is your new go-to for Kansas City soccer coverage. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. And now, let's get to it.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy, along with my good buddy Dan. Dan, how are you holding up, my friend?
Hey, man, you lived through some toasted ravioli and some Pro-Bell cheese, and you made it back to us, dude. Welcome back to the mainland.
I did. I'm not going to lie. I ate exactly zero toasted raviolis and zero Pro-Bell cheese when I was there. So I'm not sure I had an actual St. Louis experience.
Okay.
But I did.
How about a vegan hot dog?
I didn't have a vegan hot dog, although I'm going to look, we'll get to this game.
Oh.
And then I'll talk about the game day experience at City Park, as it's called.
No, and, it's not called that anymore, dude. It's called City Park.
Oh, that's right. Well, actually, City Park, everything's capitalized. So it's just
City Park. Oh, God. Too much.
So it's all one word, all capitalized. I'm not going to be a fan of St. Louis City SC. That's for damn sure. But
yeah,
I'll give some props where props are due. And, you know, 13 weeks into their existence, they're still doing the game day experience correct.
Hey, that's so good. That's all you can ask for, especially as a visiting supporter, just to enjoy their facilities. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
We'll get into all that. But yeah, no toasted ravs. No Pro-Bell cheese. I did eat at a place called Max Local Eats, I think it was called, and had a really good burger with some pimento cheese on there, some fried green tomatoes, some really good French fries, you know, had a couple of libations there of the local variety. And
libations.
It was good. Now, I will say one thing that Sporting Kansas City has over St. Louis SC, and this is just because of the location of the stadium, I guess, is parking is a goddamn nightmare. And that city and at that stadium, it's not free anywhere. And the stadium's in the middle of downtown. So it's not like there's any designated stadium parking. So
is it for real downtown?
Think about
like how far is it from the arch?
Like 6 blocks.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
It's right across the street from St. Louis Union Station. People were parked. And this is what made it worse. There was Dodgers Cardinals at the Cardinals Park, like 5 blocks away. There was Sporting KC versus St. Louis City at City Park. And then there was some country concert because I saw all the girls walking around with their cowboy boots going to some concert somewhere. And it was like 7 blocks away. So everybody was congregating all at the same time in downtown St. Louis. The only places to park were garages that had been booked up like weeks ago. So I get over there to Union Station where someone told me I could park, and they're trying to get $45 to park at Union Station for event parking. So I lied, even though I was wearing my Soccer Capital of America shirt. They're like, what are you here for? And I was like, I'm just visiting Union Station,
dude. And
she was like, okay. So she gave me a ticket, but then I just paid for a ticket to go to the aquarium inside Union Station and got that shit validated. So it cost me $25 and I got to go see some fish instead of $45.
But it's still $25. That's still $25 too much than I want to pay. I would have figured it out, bro. I would have went to like some motel and I would have Ubered to the stadium for like $5 or some shit, you know?
Yeah, but like then you'd have to get that Uber surge pricing after because you got a Cardinals game ending at the same time. You got a concert ending at the same time. You got a sporting game. And then it took me 45 minutes to get out of the parking lot. And then I drove home that night and got back.
You drove home that night?
3:15 in the morning.
Oh, no. Dude, the thing is, no, it's when you get out. If you're a mile away, you can walk that shit. That ain't nothing.
Yeah,
you can walk
that's
it.
True.
I got if it's a 30 minute or less walk, I'm in.
Walking.
Let's hit it. Unless it's scary. If it's a scary area.
Well,
a scary area. I'm not.
I don't
doing.
Know a scary. I don't know enough about excuse me St. Louis's geography or you know, anything to know like am I in a decent area or not. So I was like, whatever. I'll just pay for the. I kind of wanted to go see the aquarium anyway because. That's my thing.
Yeah, you're a fish guy.
You know, I'm a fish guy.
You're a merman.
I got to see the cute little otters getting eaten. And the whole time, spoiler alert.
Doing what?
Eating. They were not getting eaten.
Oh, you just ruined aquariums for a minute.
Freudian slip. No. Well, here's why I was sad. Spoiler alert, Guardians of the Galaxy. All I could think of looking at these cute little otters was about Lila and the fate of her.
Right.
So, and I was like, oh, these poor little creatures. So
aquarium made you cry.
I did get to feed a stingray. So that's
just feeding stingrays. They just trust you for that?
They just gave me a fish and I held it down and it's like a vacuum. It like came over my hand and just like sucked it out of my hand.
Do you like that?
I mean, it was fine. I had never done it before.
You never done it?
I also got to stick my hand in a tank and like 74 fish came up and started like giving me like a little natural like manicure. So.
I don't like that. Oh, man, I don't like that.
You gotta try it.
Nah, I don't gotta try it. I don't like getting in lakes, dude. I don't like stuff touching my little tootsies, and I'll lose my mind.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. When I was in, was it Aruba? They had a thing where you could put your feet in, like, a pond, and the fish would come do it to your feet.
So people with foot fetishes can go on in there and sure. Get there, scratch their itch. Yeah. I gotcha.
Obviously, everything outside of the game itself was the best experience in my trip to St. Louis.
Hey, St. Louis is a good time, man. They had good vegan food. We ate a couple times, and we went up there for Royal Rumble a couple years ago, so that was a hell of a time. Well, dude, this is normally the part where we'd say, hey, we got some reviews to read, but actually we have about 9 emails that just came pouring in, and there is zero way to read all these because they long, and they're nice.
They're all long, they're all nice, and I appreciate every single one of you. So,
yeah,
Adam, thank you for an email. John, thank you for an email. Chip, thank you for an email. Alex, thank you for an email. Brent, thank you for an email. Like, we got a lot of, like, very long emails that are detailed as to, like, here are all my thoughts. Yeah. Chip sent
and
us, like,
praise and praise for us.
Praise. There's some praise. There's lots of praise. Chip sent like a whole spreadsheet of data.
That's Chip for you. I know the guy.
So it was great. There were a lot of people. You know, maybe we'll get to some of them. We asked last week, hey, what would you have to do to not be Vermes out if you are Vermes out? Well, I can tell you, none of them said lose 4-0 to St. Louis. So there's that. But yeah, we appreciate all of you. There seems to be a theme in we're in trouble. You know, were the Seattle, Minnesota, LAFC games kind of fool's gold and the rest of it is a representative sample. Kind of people thinking that Vermes has to not just make the playoffs, but make a deep run to like the conference semifinals or finals at least for them to sort of start thinking otherwise. And some people were like, honestly, we could win an MLS Cup. And I still might think, hey, it's time to start thinking about the future, even if it worked out this year. Is that the best long-term play? Which I think is an interesting place to be as well. So, anywho, thank you all so much for the email, for the praise. We appreciate all of you. One, I will read, from Adam. I thought this was kind of cool because I know we read reviews on here. So I'll read this one. It's the very last paragraph of his email. He goes, like my sports teams, all I want from my SKC podcast is to hear a discussion that thoughtfully considers the team from more than one point of view It's even better when I stop walking my dog, suddenly worried that something is amiss, and I find myself shaking or nodding my head. Both reactions are equally good, and y'all deliver on both counts. Thanks for the consistent and numerous episodes. I look forward to them every week.
There it is.
So, appreciate you, Adam. Hey, we know that not everybody always agrees with our takes. Some people do, some people don't. We have an interesting style, but it seems to resonate with a lot of people. So we appreciate each and every one of you who have come out en masse to support us and meet us. I met a couple, like three or four different people came up to me in St. Louis, and they're like, "Oh, Jimmy, we love the podcast." One of them was Jake Reed, who did not say we love the podcast. I just said, "Hello, my name is Jimmy. I do a podcast called No Other Pod." And he simply just said, "I know who you are," and then stared at me.
So, that's odd, bro. That's odd.
That scared me a little bit.
I kind of wish you would have like shook his hand, stared right in his eyes and said, "And I know you."
Yeah, I should. This is why I need you there in those situations, because I'm too awkward.
Well, but, dude, I got called on at the KC Current game that night. I think a guy who was working, he had sporting stuff on, but he was down on the lower level, and we're front row south stand area. And I hear this guy kind of yell, hey, Daniel or something. And this guy is like down in the corner of this, the floor area. He has grabbed a chair and he is like Rapunzeling me, like low down your hair. Like he's right there. He's Rapunzeling me. And this guy, his name is Tyler. And he just wanted to say, you know, he knows me from the podcast, you know, and said, you know, I'm not Dan out or anything like that. So, and I was just like, dude, great to meet you. Yeah. Freaked me out for a minute, but great to meet you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hey, we always like when people come up and tell us they're listeners or enjoy the show or let us know what it is they like about it. It sort of helps us continue to get better. So we appreciate all of you and thank you for listening and for coming and talk to us. And neither of us had somebody come up to us in the bathroom this time. So.
Yeah, no bathroom time. Step it up. What's going on?
We do have two games to talk about this week. One of them obviously went better than the other. Unfortunately, that first one against LAFC doesn't feel quite as good now as it did maybe on Thursday. But I still think it's worth talking about because this is sort of, I think we've felt the whole gambit of emotions that you can feel as a Sporting KC fan in 2023 in the span of like 3 days. Because
gambit, is that
I did say gambit. Yes,
is that how you're supposed
just
to
like
say
the superhero?
I thought it was gamut.
Well, it might be. I thought it was gambit, but you know what, it could be. Let's do
okay.
Hey, well,
dude,
yeah,
this is, it's like I'll be at your beck and call. Is it becking call or beck and call?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely gamut, G-A-M-U-T, and I said gambit, which is not the same word, so thank you.
You just got grammared by the coos.
I did. Shout out to Jordan, our producer, sending us the definition on the spot. This is top quality producing. Gambit, a device, action, or opening remark, typically one entailing a degree of risk that is calculated to gain an advantage.
/ card thrower.
/ X-Men. So yeah, there I learned something new. We're spanned the whole gamut. But yeah,
This is weird. I should buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, go out. You might be a millionaire by this time next week. Yeah, we felt the whole range of emotions. How about that? That you could feel as a Sporting KC fan this week. Because Thursday, I think there was a group of people that were like, is this starting to get back on track? And I think it was fair to ask the question. Definitely no definitive answers after the LAFC game, but
right,
we were on this podcast last week basically saying we're gonna lose that game. I was like, if we could draw, that would be amazing, but we're probably gonna lose.
Yo, we could have won that game. Like, it's that, it was that good.
We should have won that game.
Right, we were pretty good. And I just feel that someone was quoted from LAFC saying that that's the toughest team they've played.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god, are you kidding me? Like, that's weird.
Pretty sure it was Dennis Bouanga, their goal scorer.
The goal scorer, yeah, who has a hell of a shot, by the way. Big leg.
Oh my god. Freaking rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's I certainly didn't expect a draw. I usually don't come out of a draw feeling excited, but I was feeling, okay, here's this 9:30 game. I'm going to stay up till midnight tonight. Sure. And for a freaking loss, it's going to suck. What am I doing to myself? But I stayed up for a draw, and I was, right, I was jazzed for a draw for the first time in a long time.
Well, and the lineup that game was a pretty decent lineup. There wasn't a ton of changes between that game and the St. Louis game, a few. But again, Shally, Polito, Russell, first choice front three. Voltaire, Redoya, Eric, Tommy, arguably the first choice midfield. People can go back and forth on Tommy and Kinda, but Voltaire, Redoya, and then Tommy or Kinda, first choice midfield. And Ndembe, Fontas, Rosario, and Jake Davis. Pretty solid back line. You know, some people think Davis is the new first choice right back. I think it's probably a little premature to say that in totality because he's still out of position. It's been a few games. I want to see it more. But the big question mark was Kendall McIntosh in goal. Even though he's performed very well at times, you know, Tim Ely is dealing with a quad injury, I believe it is. And Pulskamp just wasn't in the team selection. And I think we all thought, you know, maybe that was going to be who went there, but a pretty decent lineup. And then it took all of what, 13 minutes for Bwanga to go and put LAFC ahead. And I mean, I don't know what your thoughts were, but I was watching the first, you know, 10-15 minutes of this game, and the thing that stood out to me is LAFC just seemed very fast compared to, yeah, SKC.
Very
and they
fast.
Would attack up the middle. And, you know, this goal still kind of went down the flank, down the right side, but it was a cutback pass to Bwanga. They had numbers running into the box. Surprise. Bwanga got a free shot. McIntosh maybe should have saved it and went right underneath him, but yeah. Bwanga's
but
shot.
You could say
so
that
powerful.
About the goal we scored.
Yes.
Same deal.
But Bwanga's shot was just so powerful. 13th minute. LAFC goes ahead in LA, and my first thought is, okay, here we go. Buckle in. It's going to be a long night.
Nah, I wasn't, dude. I stayed positive the whole time because we were still moving. We were still moving the ball, kicking it from side to side. Things were good. You text me and you said, it's going to be a long night. And I said, let's not be so hasty.
You did.
Because we're looking very good despite being down right now.
Yeah. Dan, so the optimist, doesn't often come out.
Doesn't often come out, dude. I needed something good, right? Like KC Current lost earlier in the evening, a heartbreaker of a game. And then this happened. I was like, just draw this team on the road. Like, that'd be amazing.
It would be. Yeah. Now the impressive thing about this game, how many times have we seen this season or even in the past season, Sporting KC goes down early and they kind of lose all resolve. They just kind of give up. And even Johnny Russell commented on it earlier this year. We give up an early goal. We make a mistake. Everybody's heads go down. We start dragging. We start feeling like, oh, here we go again. And then it just kind of spirals. You need somebody to step up. In the 20th minute, Johnny Russell himself, the captain, kind of did that. And I was getting ready to be critical in this moment because Remy Voltaire kind of drives into the box. Then he passes back to Johnny. And it felt like almost what had been happening earlier in the year was happening again, where they were waiting for the exact perfect window to shoot. And if Johnny would have taken, let that ball roll another half foot, one more foot, he would have totally missed his opportunity to shoot. But at the very last second, he fires it on goal. And kind of like you said, it just kind of goes underneath the keeper. And I kind of wonder if the keeper was thinking the same thing I did. He seemed surprised that Johnny shot from that angle. So, like, yeah, just right between his legs.
Unbelievable, dude. You got to take those shots if you're Johnny. I mean, because he's going to put him on target and make some magic happen. He had three defenders on him. You watch them. They're like in a little triangle there. They got him covered. So no one, I don't know. I'd love to see the percentage of conversion on a shot like that because it's not high. Oh,
no, the XG for that shot was not high. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it wasn't great. But he did it. He did it. And so suddenly, okay, 20 minutes in, we're back into this. And then in the 85th minute when, I don't know about you, once it got to like 60 minutes, I could start to taste the draw. I was like, holy shit, this is a distinct possibility. Mm. And then the like existential dread set in that was like, there's still 30 minutes left and this is LAFC and we're on the road. Like, they very likely could score. And in the 85th minute, Ryan Hollingshead gets the ball, puts it past McIntosh in a beast of a shot off his left foot, upper netting into the net, and you're like, well, there it is. That's the winner.
And it kind of hit off the top of the bar.
Kind of hit off down underneath the crossbar. There's no way McIntosh could have saved it. You're like, damn, 2-1, 85th minute. There goes our point. This sucks. Until our good old friend, Mr. Video Review. He came on in, and he said offside.
Unbelievable. You got to love it. You got to love it.
I was looking at the review. I didn't know they were going to overturn it because I was like, they don't have that shot right down the angle. I don't know if they're going to be able to say it or not. Because we've seen a few times where it sure looks like the player's offside, but they don't have that angle directly down the line, so they can't definitively say. But
they were got lucky. We got lucky right there because that's a dagger at the death, dude. Like, that would have been done.
And then we almost stole it, like you said, just moments later in stoppage time. I think Afrifa had a chance. Marinos Giannis had a chance. And then Gadi Kinda had a chance. And I don't know how either Giannis or Kinda didn't get this in the back of the net. We would have smashed and grabbed 3 points, and it would have been incredible.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then you would have thrown away this St. Louis result because you'd be like, screw it, we beat LAFC, you know?
I would have been feeling a lot better than I'm feeling now. I still would feel pretty crappy right now, but I would have been feeling a lot better.
Well, we're going to break down that game because I don't feel all that crappy, and I'll let you know why.
Oh, interesting. Okay, how's that for a tease? Well, we're going to throw it to a break here, and when we come back, Dan will tell you why he does not feel crappy after losing 4-0 in the inaugural game to your arch rival. So we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app, find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
All right. We are back. So we
know how you're going to send us to break. You're going to send us a break like that, making me seem foolish.
I didn't say it's foolish.
You make me seem foolish.
The tease. You watch First Take. You know how they tease it. There's a hot take coming up.
Is there?
Mad Dog Russo is going to yell at Stephen A. Smith, and they're going to argue about which point guard was the best from 1967.
So come on back, because that's a hot topic.
Yes, exactly. But it's. Look, the St. Louis game obviously didn't go as well as we had hoped, but it was such an interesting dynamic in the days leading up to this game because even though these two teams haven't played, at least online, there was like organic tensions that were starting to develop that Sporting KC's legal department, I think, sort of like unintentionally fanned the flames of. Because they went after this St. Louis podcast with sort of a copyright claim that was calling them
again,
it's the same deal.
Oh, okay,
same podcast. But they had never replied to the original email from SKC's legal department, and they sent another one that I saw was screenshotted on Twitter that said something to the effect of, are you going to change your name or will we have to take further action?
Yeah.
And so they ended up changing it from the Soccer Capital of America podcast to River City Ramble, which I actually think is kind of a decent podcast name.
They didn't change it immediately before?
I don't think so. No.
Oh.
So, because at first, I mean, they were like, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
They were like, we're going to send another cease and desist letter.
You can take legal action and you're nothing. You're independent podcasters.
Right. So they did end up changing their name, but this kind of like stoked the flames of like, big bad sport in Kansas City trying to take down independent podcaster and a rallying cry for a lot of St. Louis fans. There were articles written about it in the St. Louis Press. So you say you got to beat somebody.
Gotta beat someone.
Can't beat the team, beat the podcasters.
Exactly.
So that kind of became this talking point on top of what already is like this Kansas City-St. Louis rivalry. Look, I'm not from Kansas City originally. You're from Topeka, right?
Sure.
So have you bought in or throughout your life, have you been aware or felt this like Kansas City versus St. Louis kind of tension that exists? Never. Or was that even outside of you?
Never have. I didn't really know it was a thing until now, which I'm fine. I buy into it. You know, Royals and Cardinals weren't even in the same freaking league.
Sure.
You know, they're American League, National League. So it's like they hardly play each other.
Yeah.
And Chiefs, you know, then the Chiefs are rivals with Broncos and Raiders.
Right.
You know, so.
Same deal. Chiefs were AFC West. Rams, even in St. Louis, were NFC West.
Exactly. Hardly played. So, but now that we will inevitably play this team, by the way, three times this year.
It's a lot.
You're going to have a distinct, like, even if we beat them once, you're going to have a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. It'll be interesting to see who these two teams are here in about a couple months when they play again.
Yeah.
Because both of them have been very inconsistent these past few weeks.
Well, St. Louis went on a bit of a slide before they played us. They started off real hot, 5-0-0, best start in expansion history for an MLS team. Then they went on a bit of a skid right as we were getting better. They were missing Joao Klaus, their best player, their striker, who keeps having defenders pass him the ball directly.
Didn't matter because they had an amazing goalkeeper.
They had Roman Bürki from Borussia Dortmund. I mean, you can see why this dude was atop the Bundesliga.
Dude is amazing. I couldn't even be mad. I was just...
Honestly, there were a couple saves he made. Like that one against Johnny Russell at the very end where he like dives out of nowhere and punches it away and he gets up and he's just screaming. I'm sitting there and I'm just like, what am I going to do?
He's screaming at his people for even letting him get a shot off. And the thing is, we talked all year about how we just keep shooting at the goalkeeper. Well, we weren't shooting at the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper was just looking amazing in the stops he had.
Yeah, no, there were...
The John East one at the end?
Maybe it was John East that I'm thinking of. There were a couple of looks that Sporting KC had. It wasn't a lot, but they had some looks. And Bürki, I mean, he's had some ups and downs this year. But I mean, like I said, there was a reason that for a while, he was the number one keeper on Borussia Dortmund.
Is he a DP for them?
Oh, that's a great question. I think he might technically be.
Because didn't we make fun of them for having their DP be a keeper?
Yeah, because that's not normally something that you see.
Yeah, so I think that's something we would have done.
I think that is something that because they're not using all three of their DP slots either, which again, kind of that also sucks. Like we have our three DP slots and, you know, we are playing the way we are. They're not even using all of them. They're not listing who the designated players are on their roster, which is annoying. Klaus, I'm pretty sure, is a designated player, but I don't know if Bürki is or not. Mm. But either way, he's a fantastic player. And it's, this says he's not a designated player. He also played a year in MLS Next Pro, which seems not fair.
Oh, that's great. let me tell you why we shouldn't be mad about this, for one. Okay. And I want to just kind of throw it away. Sure, we got blown out. Sure, it was our rivals. Everyone's pumped. The excitement's thrilling, right? We played Wednesday. They didn't play Wednesday. That's one. I'm not using that as an excuse, but that matters, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't even come home. We went straight to St. Louis. I don't know what that does for legs. I know as a normal person, if I'm on a plane for a bit, I got heavy legs, and I'm not a professional athlete. So these goals that they scored, we handed it to them. Fontas passed it right to him. Another one, Gadi Kinda, like, got murdered, and they just, like, slide-tackled it away from him. It was in our own third. They just kept taking the ball from us. So it's like they didn't do anything spectacular. The only thing that was spectacular was their goalkeeper. So I want to throw this away. I want to see how we do against Portland this Sunday, because that's a big one. So I'm
the one part I will push back on when you said they didn't do anything spectacular, it was just their goalkeeper. And it's hard to know if this is really on St. Louis for doing something like this, or if this is just more of an indictment of Sporting Kansas City. They pressed the hell out of Sporting KC, and we could not figure out how to get out from under it to save our damn lives. They had two or three players around the ball at all times, no matter where it was on the field. They looked faster, which, again, this is concerning that two games in a row, the other teams have looked faster. But this isn't surprising. St. Louis has kind of been known for this pressing style, not to the extent they did against Sporting Kansas City, but this is what they've done all year. And I feel like this, I would say, is maybe on Vermees for not figuring out, if nothing else, an in-game adjustment. Sporting Kansas City likes to play out of the back. And St. Louis seemed like we knew that. And we have Andreu Fontas, who's not the most athletic center back, and Danny Rosero, who has moments where he looks brilliant, and other moments where I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Because he takes crazy risks at times. So you have these two center backs who are trying to play out of the back. St. Louis is pressing the hell out of us. You got a goalkeeper who's not typically back there and looked rattled at times against St. Louis. And it caused some real problems. And we just never adjusted to it and didn't know how to break it.
They didn't create anything like in the run of play. They just pressured the crap out of us until we gave up the ball.
Right.
That's good. Well, good on them. They did something defensively, but their offense wasn't some like hot ball of fire.
No. Yeah. I mean, so their first goal came off of a controversial penalty decision.
Penalty. We're not even going to mention that. That was
17th minute, Nemanja Radoya, and he instantly said no. And I was down. I was sitting in above that goal, and I saw it. And my first reaction is, there's not a chance in hell that that's a penalty.
And they reviewed it, right? Supposedly.
VAR supposedly always takes a look, but they did not signal down to Chris Pencil to take a look. And I am looking at the highlight right now. I've watched it multiple times. I do not see an angle. I have not seen an angle yet that gives me any sort of indication that that's a penalty. I think I saw Mike Kuhn on Twitter say they maybe showed one angle on the broadcast they didn't initially show, like later in the game, that showed a little bit of contact. But I don't see anything that indicates it's a penalty. And Peter Vermees agrees, because after he was like, it's just simply not a penalty. But
well, the thing is, if it's different if we lose 1-0. The fact that we didn't, I'm just like, okay, I don't really care. Penalty, whatever.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. And then the second goal, Gadi Kinda gets taken out, which maybe could have been a penalty on its own. And then Indiana Vasilev, which is a wild name, he kicks the ball straight at Kendall McIntosh, who probably should have saved it, but it goes right underneath him in the 25th minute. So at that point, it's 2-0, and I'm not feeling great. And then in the 56th minute, we have Nicholas Giacchini, who I believe is from Kansas City, chips the hell out of Kendall McIntosh in a pretty gorgeous goal. And then Andreu Fontas running way the hell up into the offensive half, who then gives the ball away. And then again, it's Giacchini to Vasilev for the second. Or no, I guess it's not Giacchini, but it's Vasilev who puts the ball away for the fourth goal. Easily, and it's 4-0. And at that point, I was just laughing.
Yeah, not fun, man. I was getting my updates at the KC Current game. When I heard it was 2-0 at half, I was like, okay, that's fine. That is fine. If you're down 2-0, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
We can come back. And then it was 3 before we even got home. And I was able to turn on the last 40 minutes of the game when we got home.
Mm-hmm.
and saw that final goal, and I was like, whew, glad everyone made the trip down there to witness this bloodbath, because that sounds terrible.
It just, I tweeted this out at one point. There was a part of me that it reminded me of the Portland game early in the year last year that ultimately ended 7-2, but it was kind of like once the floodgates opened, it just continued to pour, and there was nothing we could do about it. This was the first edition of what's supposed to be your biggest rival. And yeah, you can argue, well, they haven't played each other. How can they really be rival? St. Louis looked like they were treating this as a rivalry game, and Sporting Kansas City looked like they were not. And that's disheartening from a team mentality standpoint, even if they were tired.
Yeah, I mean, they're never going to use tired as an excuse.
Well,
they kind of did say that a couple times. They did say, you know, and even like media people are saying like, well, they didn't have to play midweek. And it's like, so what, man? I don't know if the score is that much different if we even had the week off. I don't know.
The social post after the game was done said something like, our 2-week 5-match stretch closes in STL, which I wasn't
making,
a huge fan
making
of.
Sure you knew, making right. sure you knew how many games they played and how often they played them.
I wasn't a huge fan of that. I think Peter Vermees maybe mentioned it at one point, you know, saying that we had to make a few changes to get some freshness in the group. But I don't know. What was interesting is one of the things that Jake Reed did say to me outside of scaring me when he was like, I know who you are, and then staring at me, is he even mentioned pregame. He goes, I wish MLS wouldn't have given us a midweek match and not them, because I would have thought they would have wanted the first edition of this game to be both teams on fresh legs. I do think that's a fair criticism of the league.
Have you met this league?
No.
Do you know them at all? Like, they don't give shit.
No, they just want money. That's why they're taking $500 million for an expansion team in San Diego.
Yeah.
But I get it. But it just didn't look like there was a fight in the team, at least not a cohesive fight. There might have been individual players who were given an effort. And also, yes, Chris Penso had an absolute disaster of a game from a refereeing standpoint. But the penalty probably changes things. It puts you in a spot early. But we came back against LAFC and didn't let it impact us. Penso was bad. Sporting Kansas City was worse.
Every goal, though, was not a referee's problem. Penalty, okay, that was one thing. But Gattikinda got it stolen. That led to a goal. Zusi just gets beat, like, in the box. That leads to a goal. And you know he gets beat because he tries to grab the dude's arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fontas passes it right to the guy. That's four goals, bro, where they didn't do anything. We handed those goals to them.
Yeah. And there's only so many center backs or defenders that can get cut and never play for Sporting Kansas City again for making dumb mistakes. There's not enough center backs for Fontas to be benched forever.
We can't be cutting Fonte. We can't. We just can't afford it. This is a rare moment of optimism for me. I want you guys to join me on this, and let's see what happens at Portland or at home against Portland. I'm excited because you're going to have a rest. We're a little banged up right now, a little travel logged, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there with me? Are you a little excited for Portland? Because I am. Look at these rosy cheeks. I'm so excited.
I know. I don't think I'm as optimistic as you are. I think
it's weird, right?
I think I'm concerned about this team's ability to turn it around for one reason or another.
They're playing better, though. You see it. You see it happening.
Not on Saturday, they weren't, though.
Of course they didn't play on Saturday, dude. I think they're just exhausted. And St. Louis was just too fast for them.
But that shouldn't be it. It shouldn't be. Like, the lineup that we put out should have
been... We're going to smoke Portland, dude. We're going to smoke.
Maybe.
You're going to see it happen and be like, I see it, man. Dan knows what he's talking about.
I know you know what you're talking about, but on paper, the team that we put out should have been better than St. Louis. They're an expansion side, and we had this whole, we're the real soccer capital of America. Sporting Kansas City put out this whole video. They have billboards along I-70 saying there's only one soccer capital.
It was a cool video.
Kansas City. It is. You can't go out and lay an egg, though.
Yeah.
Like,
that video got me pretty excited, though, I tell you that.
Well, it was the most exciting part of the whole game. So
it was.
I do want to talk a little bit about the game day experience, and I want to talk a little bit about the fan reaction. But we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about my experience down there and what it means going forward.
You're listening to KC Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Hey, we are back. Well, I know you're not a big Reddit person.
Yeah, should I be? But, what's on Reddit? Do I need to be on there?
Well, a lot of anger, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not.
But that's just Reddit as a whole. Supporting Kansas City Reddit is back to being, I mean, it never really went away, but it's a full strength calling for Vermes' job again. I think this is the most frustrating part of the loss, I think, for me, is if there was a chance to build goodwill back for SKC after winning in Seattle, after winning at home against Minnesota, after drawing against LAFC, you needed to at minimum put out a competitive team and be competitive against St. Louis City. You couldn't, you can't go out in the very first game between these two and not even look like you want to be there. And it's going to be, I think, pretty easy for people who already want Vermes out to pin the reaction of that team and the performance on Peter Vermes. So that may have sealed, if it wasn't already sealed in a lot of people's minds, this game may have sealed his fate in a lot of people's minds who were already leaning that direction. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, I guess, in practical terms, but
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Are you going to be, I can't be at the game on Sunday. I'll have to watch it. I'll be out of town, but are you going to be there?
Oh yeah, I'll be there.
I'm really interested to see the vibe of the crowd, because there was that goodwill against Minnesota. Then there were people who kind of interpreted his speech after the game in sort of a more negative way. I think they are going to be potentially relatively hostile as a fan base toward Vermes on Sunday. So
okay, I'm excited for that. That's an exciting, you know. Hey, you never know what's going to pop off. I get excited when new things happen. So
yeah,
I think victory comes on Sunday too, man. So I'm excited for the bounce back, and I'm here for the drama. Everyone's like, Vermes out. Wait, maybe not. Nah, just kidding. Vermes out.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah, it is true. We'll see. Now, one thing I do think that St. Louis did that's a lot better than what Sporting Kansas City has done is kind of what I mentioned, the game day atmosphere. You walk up to the stadium. Parking, Sporting Kansas City 1, St. Louis 0. So we'll say that. Parking, no contest.
Yeah.
Game, set, match, Sporting Kansas City. It also is a lot easier when there's like flat land and nothing around your stadium, basically, as there is out in Kansas City, Kansas. But you walk up to the stadium once you do get there, and they call it a block party where they have the street closed off. They got music playing. They got performers. They got a bunch of food trucks that are out and about. They got merchandise vendors. Like, they make it a whole thing. It's like if you took what happens on the Mizuma Plaza inside Children's Mercy Park, expanded it, and made it much more involved. That's what they're doing in like the whole area outside, starting hours before the game. And just across the street, they're fortunate enough where they have the Schlafly Pub. Schlafly is one of the breweries in St. Louis. And that's where, again, they close off the street there, more food trucks. They're doing raffles. They're doing merch sales. There are people going in and out. There's music. That's where the supporters' tailgate is. It's all kind of right there. And then they march over to the stadium, which is right across the street. And in the stadium, the vendors, all local restaurants, actual real restaurants, not corporate food that's like, here's our Mexican stand and here's our barbecue stand. It's like, no, real restaurants. There was a Filipino barbecue stand. There was an African stand. There was like a Kraft burger stand from a restaurant. There were vegan options. It just overall seemed like a really good game day environment. And then, I'm not going to lie, it was a pretty cool pregame presentation where they shut off all the lights and they just have like red all around the stadium. And every single fan takes out their phone, turns on their flashlight, and they're kind of swaying back and forth while they're chanting St. Louis City. And it's just totally silent except for 30,000 fans chanting St. Louis City for like two straight minutes. It was like, it was really intense and kind of cool.
Really? So, that just sounds like a Coldplay concert.
Kind of. But again, it's easy in one sense because they're brand new. It's the hot new thing.
Yeah.
Up in at Livestrong Park when Sporting was there.
Sure.
Will it survive when they're not good? Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just a juxtaposition to the stadium experience and the game day experience and what's happening at Sporting Kansas City. I just thought it was
interesting. You're right. No, we've spoken, and many fans have spoken about how the game day experience at Children's Mercy Park just is not what it used to be. And that games just aren't as memorable or exciting or fun as they used to be. And I've seen that firsthand too. I can attest it is different. I still have a good time, but it's a different kind of good time than it used to be.
Right. You're also a fan of the sport, right? So you go and you're like, I have a connection to the sport. I have a connection to this team. I want to continue watching this because I care about the club from a sporting standpoint and I want to see them get better. I'm the same way.
If we continue to lose and lose and lose, I'm not going to bother selling my tickets. One, because no one's going to buy them.
Sure.
But by the way, that's a thing. You can't price your tickets lower than $30 a ticket.
Because they don't want you to undercut the club.
And guess what? So my tickets didn't sell one weekend where I was out of town or something, or I had an improv show, and my tickets didn't sell. So they'd rather not, you know, undercut the club. They'd rather have a seat empty.
Interesting. And I guess they can already, from an attendance standpoint, they'll just count it as a ticket sold because it's already sold. So they don't want you to take other ticket sales away from them.
No, very true. It just sucks that someone, you know, couldn't go and enjoy the game.
For sure.
That's not what it's about.
No. But it is interesting because when I would describe the Sporting Kansas City game day experience to people 6-7 years ago, we're talking 2015, 2016, if people weren't a soccer fan and we started talking about Sporting KC and they're like, oh, I've never been to a game, I wouldn't even bother asking, do you like soccer? Do you not? Whatever. I would be like, oh, you should go. It feels like a party when you're there. It's just a good energy and a good thing to be around. And that's how you and I got hooked, having no real connection, especially me, I guess, not being from this area, like having literally no connection to the club in their Wizards days, going and being like, I like the vibe of this. I want to be around it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that now.
Yeah, I'd say it's hard to find forms of excitement to get new people out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fans are going to come and go, too. There's all different kinds of fans, and I support both of them, man. You want to be diehard, cool. You want to be a casual, that's fine.
Sure.
You want to be fair weather? No, you can do your thing.
I mean, yeah, everybody's different. You know, it is a bummer. I wish that they could figure it out. I think it's good to see Jake Reed out there at a tailgate and talking with fans.
Aside
from when he scared me, I hope he continues to be more visible, because if I had advice from a fan standpoint for Jake Reed, not that he asked me, but I would say that there is a perception among the fan base that he is, he just doesn't care as much about the fan experience as much.
Concessions should be better.
Selling, making business deals. So that's what I would say the general consensus is among the fan base. And it's a very big juxtaposition, we've talked about it before, to Rob Heineman, his predecessor. And Rob had the benefit of Sporting Kansas City being good and competitive when he was there. But I would say Jake should continue to get out, mix with fans, have an open forum maybe, where just like Peter did with Cauldron earlier in the year. It would suck. You'd take a lot of beating, I'm sure, although I would say people aren't as brave in person as they are online. Have an open forum. Ask me anything. Have people come and say, what did you like about the game day experience before that you feel is missing now? And not make any promises, but just make people feel heard. I think that would go a long way to starting to build trust back.
Just have an open forum. Dude, that sound, I'm way too much of a coward for that shit.
Yeah, but I mean, also you're getting paid handsomely to run an organization. And if people start questioning your ability to run the organization as a segment of the fan base has been, and you're losing trust of the segment of the fan base, I would say that that would be an opportunity to turn critics into champions. That would be one person's advice as to one opportunity to turn this thing around. But
yeah,
nobody asked me. So, but okay, now we turn to Portland on Sunday. Portland, they lost to Minnesota 1-0 in a 95th minute, 96th minute game winner. So they're going to be a little bit demoralized.
We aren't?
Well, no, we definitely are. This is at home. I did buy, you can't see it here, although I do have my new MLS sign.
Oh, I see it.
Co-worker gave me.
We both got autographs up in here.
I know. I have a Wizard sign that I need to put up, but I got to, you know, figure out how to get it up somewhere. I did buy like the match day scarf at St. Louis because I try to get a scarf from everywhere I go, but I didn't want to just buy a straight up St. Louis scarf.
They had a scarf for the match?
It's got the date on it, and it's got half Sporting Kansas City, half St. Louis.
That's something we just don't do anymore. We don't do those match day scarves. Do you think St. Louis does that for every game or just for this one?
I don't know. It's a good question.
That's interesting.
I don't know if they did it just for this one because, like, hey, this is the first real rivalry game. But they had one, so I bought that one. So it's kind of.
We are going to the return game later this fall.
Are you going to take the train or are you going to drive or what are you going to do?
I ain't taking no goddamn train.
You should be against public transit.
Yeah, I ain't squeezing on that freaking metal box with people. What are you talking
about?
I heard
the train's pretty good.
I've taken the train before to Chicago, but is it? I like driving. I like having my car there, and I'll probably stay in a hotel nearby, so I'll probably, park there. And
yeah. If I go again, I'm not probably driving back and getting home.
How do you do that? How'd you stay awake?
Well, it was tough.
Did you roll your windows down and just...
Coffee, cold air, and, heavy rock music. But I didn't want to pay for a hotel, honestly. I made it. I'm safe. So I don't know. They have the match.
There's deer out there, bro.
I didn't hit any.
No, well, yeah, clearly you're good.
They didn't mess with me.
So scary. Hey, you know what I'm thinking about doing? Thinking about buying a scooter.
Like a bird scooter type deal?
No, bro, not a bird scooter. I'm not seven. I'm talking like a freaking moped, bro. Oh. Scooter gang.
Okay. I know a couple people that got a moped. No.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You see me rolling up, getting some freaking Dole Whip on a scooter?
Gonna putt around Dole Whip on a scooter.
We got a Dole Whip place here in town, man, and it's delicious.
Hawaiian Bros? Or it's like strictly Dole Whip?
It's called Pineapple Dream, and it's many different flavors of Dole Whip.
Well, Hawaiian Bros here, they got the Dole Whip, is pretty decent too.
Yeah,
but
they have like one flavor. This has like 10.
Okay, well, good luck to you and your moped adventure.
Scooter gang, bro.
I love that journey for you. So Portland is now coming to town on Sunday. You're feeling very optimistic. I'm feeling less optimistic. I do feel like if they don't win and win in convincing fashion, this is going to turn even uglier than it already has. So,
I think we win in convincing fashion because I think we have to. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, I've tried that before this season and it didn't work out for me. So we'll see. Now, they'll have a full week of rest, like you said. Chris Pencil probably will not be the match official. So it's two positives compared to St. Louis. But
what a turd of a ref! Like, how can you say you were happy about your game? You know, good job I did.
It was pretty bad. It was a pretty bad game. Portland on the season, they're in eighth place. They have 1.14 points per game, 16 points through 14 games. They have 18 goals for, 20 goals against for a -2 goal differential. As ugly as the St. Louis game is, we are still not in last place because the LA Galaxy are worse. So they're still in last place. We're in 13th. Although at this point, last week when we were like, hey, we're only 3 points out of a playoff line, that's doubled now to 6 points out of the playoff line. So it's sure. Getting a little harder. Hole's getting a little deeper. This is a significant game because one of those teams tied at 16 points is Portland. You can make up three on them right now. And then we got Austin coming up soon, another team at the bottom of the playoff line. These are some huge games coming up.
Yeah, 100%, man. Midweek FC Dallas next Wednesday. So
FC Dallas midweek in Dallas is decent.
Yeah, couple home games. God, they're coming fast, aren't they?
They are coming real fast.
Bing, bang, boom.
Especially since we got Leagues Cup later with Chivas coming and whatnot. So
ain't nobody going to that.
No, you're very excited for that one.
Are you going to that one?
I'll be there.
You might be one of the onlys.
It's gonna be dead. It will be, probably
crazy dead.
Especially if they're playing as poorly as they have been for most of the season.
Right. If I loved Chivas, if I was just a huge fan, I'm there.
There might be more Chivas fans there than Sporting if this season continues to go as it is.
100%.
I'll be there. I don't know. We'll see. Alan Pulido may be playing against his old club. I don't know. So we'll see. But Portland kickoff 2:25 p.m. because I believe it's a Fox game because it's on Sunday. So, Fox is always 25 minutes after the actual listed kickoff.
Right.
So nice little afternoon game. Taylor Twellman will not be on the call, probably calling his biased game for his hometown club.
Now, is that any different than having Nate Bucati on the call for SKC, though? He's not as biased, but it shines in there sometimes.
I mean, different people have different opinions. I actually always thought Nate did a pretty decent job of doing the right amount of homerism. He did some, but he wasn't like blatant. Taylor, I wasn't watching the broadcast, but I saw some things people were saying. It sounded like there were some people taking a lot of issue with just how much. Taylor was down on the field before the game wearing a St. Louis City scarf, being honored as a St. Louis soccer legend. So, yeah, it's maybe not the best look.
That's like that's serious conflict of interest, right? Like that feels weird.
There's a reason Kirk Herbstreit doesn't pick the score on College Game Day if he's calling the game that they're talking about. So he doesn't want to.
Right?
He'll pick scores of every single other game, except then when they get to the game that he's doing, he goes, "I'm sitting this one out. I'm not picking a score. I don't want to seem biased."
Interesting.
But to each their own.
Huh. Yeah, I guess you can't tell these broadcasters to not work their home team games.
And it is a story. He is from St. Louis. So I get why they want him to be there for a big rivalry like this. I almost just wish though they would have just had him be there. And again, I don't know how the setup was. I wasn't watching the broadcast. I was at the game. But have him be more come in to just say what does it mean from a St. Louis standpoint instead of him be an actual commentator on the match. That's how I would have done it. But again, nobody asked me. If they ask me, I have all these great ideas and nobody wants to hear them.
Yeah, no one wants them, dude. Jake Reed had every opportunity and he didn't want to talk to you at all.
No, I did get a couple free drinks from the club. They had Chad Reynolds and Hartzell were serving drinks. So that was kind of cool. So appreciate
it. Another Chad I heard was the only media member on the post-game call.
Well, yeah, for the video, because they did it a little differently because
everyone was in person, right? Everyone
were there in person, got in person availability, and then post game virtual availability. And I don't think Chad expected it, so I feel kind of bad because it would be nerve wracking if they're like,
it was a one-on-one, man.
You and Peter, one-on-one after that game. Have fun.
Small 5-minute sit down.
Right. So, I'm glad it was him and not me. I'll say that.
There you go. Exactly. Thanks for falling on that sword, brother.
Yeah, but it just sucks, man. It's not a good time right now. I hope that you're right and that we'll be back here next week talking Victory Pod, previewing Dallas after a good win in Portland, but we'll see. People are feisty right now.
Stay feisty, my friends. It's important.
Stay feisty, my friends. Well, again, to all of you who emailed us, I know we haven't had a chance to respond to all your emails yet. We didn't get a chance to read all of them on here, but that's because they were long, but that's because they were good.
So there were long ones.
To each of you, we will try to go back and respond to each of you. If you have not yet emailed us and would like to email your thoughts, nootherpod@gmail.com. You can send us that email. If you were in St. Louis, how did you think the game day experience compared? Where are you at right now with the state of this club? What would you like to see happen both on field and off field? And if social's your thing, tweet us, follow us on Instagram @nootherpod, @DanKuser, @JCMac03. Check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer, where you can see this visually. And check out that KCSN app where you can get us right to your phone through the app. You can watch the videos there too. And leave that 5-star rating and review if you haven't yet done so. But yeah, until next time, he's Dan. I'm Jimmy. We'll talk to y'all later. See ya.
Jimmy and Jake Reed, BFFs.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all 6 of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.